White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki praises her new best buddies, the Taliban. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez adds a new spin to birthing people. Plus, as America remembers 9/11, we'll look at a new documentary about that tragic day. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I hope you had a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We have bonus coverage today on this pre-9/11 Friday, so I hope you enjoy the extra minutes. We're going to start with White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, who defended a White House statement which described the Taliban as businesslike and professional. The Taliban, businesslike and professional. These people are going door to door killing people. They continue to prevent many Americans from leaving Afghanistan, holding them hostage for concessions from the Biden administration. So now, one flight leaves the Kabul airport, and all of a sudden, the Taliban are businesslike and professional. The characterization got the attention of Fox News' Peter Doocy, who asked about this kindler, gentler Taliban at the White House press briefing.
Can you explain a little bit more about why the White House in a statement is calling the Taliban businesslike and professional?
Well, I would note that in that statement, what we were announcing was the fact that a Qatari Airlines flight successfully landed in Qatar with American citizens, legal permanent residents, and Afghans on board who joined us in our fight over the last several years.
Oh my gosh. One flight was able to leave Afghanistan, and all of a sudden, the Taliban are businesslike and professional. Of course, that response really didn't sit well with Doocy, who followed up with this.
You're saying the Taliban is businesslike and professional. Their interior minister has an FBI wanted poster. He's got a $10 million bounty on his head. What's the business?
Unreal. The interior minister is on the FBI's most wanted list. The Taliban interim government is filled with terrorists. That's just a fact. Here's Psaki's response.
We are here to celebrate the return of American citizens who wanted to leave Afghanistan, of legal permanent residents, of Afghans who fought by our side to Qatar successfully on a Qatari Airlines flight. And in order to get those people out, we had to work with some members of the Taliban to press them and to work in a businesslike manner to get them out. That is what we were stating in the statement.
Blah, blah, blah. Just the other day, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that the Taliban were not blocking passage of Americans. The day after, he admitted, well, you know, Americans, they can't leave because the Taliban's holding them. That sure sounds like a hostage situation to me, but for Jen Psaki, that's businesslike and professional. But just to show you how fake and lame the Biden administration is, here's Jen Psaki again, this time from the day before she heaped praise on the Taliban.
No one in this administration, not the president, nor anyone on the national security team, would suggest that the Taliban are respected and valued members of the global community. They have not earned that in any way, and we have never assessed that. This is a caretaker cabinet that does include four former imprisoned Taliban fighters.
So, one day they are not respected or valued members of the global community, and the very next day, they're businesslike and professional. In the meantime, there are still Americans in Afghanistan who want to get out. There are still Afghan personnel who helped America and who are being hunted. They can't get out. And the Biden administration, it looks like they will say just about anything to make it look like they are somehow competent. Well, guess what? It's not working. Okay, so next let's talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is back in the news because she continues to lower the bar for competency and common sense. These radical leftists are constantly pushing the woke agenda and coming up with new terms seemingly every day that take a normal situation and make it weird and nonsensical. Back in the good old days, the only people who could give birth were women. Biology, physiology, and other sciences were based on science. They were based on facts. Now, science is whatever the left says it is. Women are no longer the only ones who can give birth. Remember back in May, radical Democrat Cori Bush tweeted this. Every day, black birthing people and our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. My children almost became a statistic. I almost became a statistic. I testified about my experience at the House Oversight Democrats today. Hear us, believe us, because for so long, nobody has. Black birthing people. You mean mothers? Women? The left now try to account for this notion that men can somehow give birth too. AOC added to the woke vocabulary this week when she spoke to CNN's Anderson Cooper. AOC was on the program to blast Texas' new pro-life law, and she said this.
What this is about is controlling women's bodies and controlling people who are not cisgender men. This is about making sure that someone like me as a woman or any menstruating person in this country cannot make decisions over their own body.
Any menstruating person? Are you kidding me? She couldn't just say women. She had to account for all those men out there who can now give birth and menstruate. What's funny is you can almost see the gears turning in her head. She mentions women, but then thinks, oh man, I better get woke, and throws in menstruating persons. But then she goes on in the interview to say that it's an attack against women. She can't even keep her wokeness consistent. But in classic AOC style, when she was roasted on social media for a new scientific definition, she doubled down on Twitter. In response to the Daily Mail calling out her CNN comment, AOC tweeted this. Not just women, trans men and non-binary people can also menstruate. Some women also don't menstruate for many reasons, including surviving cancer that required a hysterectomy. GOP mad at this are protecting the patriarchal idea that women are most valuable as uterus holders. Did you catch all that? Trans men can also menstruate. Of course, because they are actually women. And guess what? All those non-binary people that she says can also menstruate, how many of those people do you think are women? It's just a guess, but I'd say 100%. And then I find it interesting that she goes back to the term women to point out a group who are not affected by the new Texas pro-life law in order to build her case against the Texas pro-life law. Way to go, AOC. So next, as we're set to observe the 20-year mark since the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001, I just wanted to point out some programming that'll be coming up on Newsmax. I'll be talking about my 9/11 experience on the Saturday live stream tomorrow, and I'll give you more information about that at the end of the show. But Newsmax is set to broadcast a new documentary titled 9/11, The Day That Shook the World. And today, we are fortunate enough to be with Jack Thomas Smith. He is the director of this series, this film. I'm so excited to have him. Jack, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Bobby. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, this is just such a solemn weekend. I mean, we've had these remembrances. It means a lot to me and my story of what I witnessed at the Pentagon on 9/11. But on the 20th anniversary, to me, I think it's more important because I was just at an event this past weekend with a young city council member that doesn't even remember 9/11. He was so young, he wasn't even born yet. So the idea of putting this out there for people to see, I think you're doing just such great work. And if you don't mind, I'd love to play the trailer for folks so they can kind of see what they can look forward to on Newsmax.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go.
The morning of September 11th, the men and women of the New York City Police Department, the Fire Department, and the Port Authority Police Department, they effected the greatest rescue mission in the history of this country.
Bernie called me and said a second plane hit.
The vice president's being evacuated. We think the Pentagon just got hit.
Passengers and crew members of Flight 93, they took the fight to the terrorists.
There were evacuation orders that we know people heard, but they didn't give a damn.
When we had firefighters that they weren't going to leave, there were some of their brothers or people who needed the help.
You went to the nearby armory. All the pictures of the missing were posted.
I lost over 100 of my friends that day.
You know, we'll never be the same.
We probably did about 400 funerals in 14 weeks.
They came here to break us, and they didn't. We came out of it much, much stronger, much more united. So that's why we should never forget.
Unbelievable. And I got to admit, Jack, that this time, you know, as we get closer to Friday and to Saturday, especially this particular year, I haven't watched anything yet. So as I was preparing this and looking at that trailer, it just, you know, it just brings you back to that day. So what was this like to dive in and start this project?
Yeah, it's going off what you said, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years. I mean, and to this day, I still can't believe it really happened. So diving into this project, essentially the way it all came to happen was I was contacted by Newsmax. They had an idea to do a 9/11 documentary to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks of September 11th. So initially when I wrote the treatment, you know, I kind of wrote it as, you know, a historical piece because, you know, what happened on 9/11, that's what happened. But then once we started shooting it, we interviewed Rudy Giuliani, Bernard Kerik, Tom Von Essen, Curtis Sliwa, Peter King, Frank Siller, who's the CEO of Tunnel to Towers, who also lost his brother on 9/11. We also interviewed Elizabeth Robertson, who lost her brother, Donnie. He actually worked at Cantor Fitzgerald. We interviewed Gordon Felt. He lost his brother, Edward, on Flight 93. And we also interviewed Tim Brown, who was a firefighter and lost 100 of his friends that day. So essentially, when I started it, you know, you write out the historical elements of it, the timeline of the hijackings, hitting the buildings, and just everything that unfolded that day, that morning. But then diving in, you started hearing all these personal stories, not just from our guests who lost loved ones, but also from Rudy and from Bernard and from Tom Von Essen. You know, Bernard Kerik said they did 400 funerals in 14 weeks.
Right.
And Tom Von Essen lost 10 of his best friends. So, you know, even though we got to interview the decision makers, you know, that were on the ground, you know, minute by minute dealing with this, we also, you know, we kind of learned a lot personally about what they were all going through that day.
Oh, my gosh. So what is it that obviously, you know, this is important to you? What is it, anything that stood out? We're going to get to the details on how people could tune in, but anything in particular that stood out to you making this that you might have not realized before that just really stood out this time?
Yeah, so going back to that day, I remember watching on the news the evacuation of Lower Manhattan, and I remember, you know, reading you know, after that, that they had evacuated 1 million people from Lower Manhattan that day. It was the biggest maritime evacuation, I believe, bigger than Dunkirk. I thought it was just because they were afraid there were going to be more terrorist attacks. During the interview, Rudy said that when the towers collapsed, it damaged the walls that kept the Hudson River out from flooding Lower Manhattan. So he said, you know, if they got hit with heavy rains or, God forbid, a hurricane, it could completely flood out Lower Manhattan, and think about the havoc that would cause in that area. I honestly didn't even know that. And, you know, and it was funny when he said that, I was like, we definitely have to keep that in because I just had no clue. And actually, one other point, a horrible, horrible note. I remember that day watching when those towers were burning, and I kept saying to myself, why not get helicopters up there, and land and try and get people out of there. Rudy also addressed that during the documentary. He said that to the fire chief. He said, let's just get helicopters up there. And the fire chief said, we can't, because the flames are it's so hot up there, the helicopters would have actually exploded. So just on a personal level, it kind of addressed two things that I honestly didn't know from that day.
Oh, wow. That is incredible. Well, folks at home, I'm going to put links in the description so people can see this. But if they tune into Newsmax, give us some details on when and where.
Sure. So it's going to be on Friday, September 10th at 9 o'clock on Newsmax. Then Saturday, September 11th, it's going to be on at 8 o'clock. And then I believe Sunday night, it's going to play again at 9 o'clock on Newsmax.
Oh, my gosh. Well, folks, I hope you tune in. Again, 20 years, there's so many people that have either forgotten or never knew about this incident and how it literally changed the world. It brought people together. It changed our focus on terrorism, what it meant, how we reacted to it. Jack, tell us what else you've got going on, because believe it or not, as big of a project this is, this isn't your only project, right?
No, this this has been crazy. So we actually, Sunday night at 8 o'clock on Newsmax, it's actually the premiere of the pilot episode of a pro-military docuseries that I created, directed, and co-executive produced with my fiance Mandy Del Rio and our partner Glenn Nivola, who is actually our investor in the pilot episode. It's called War Heroes, and it's hosted by Benghazi hero Chris Peronto. And essentially what War Heroes is, it tells the personal stories of our men and women in uniform. Our pilot episode profiles Sergeant Ryan E. Doltz, who lost his life in Iraq in 2004. And pretty much what we do, we focus on his life from birth, childhood, his time at VMI, his service in Iraq, and then what his family did. They essentially took such a horrible, tragic loss and created the Sergeant Ryan E. Doltz Memorial Foundation, mm-hmm. In his honor to help other veterans.
Oh, that's incredible. I believe I actually have a clip, part of that first episode, the trailer for that first episode. We'll go ahead and play it for the audience.
So I take the pain and I push it down, even though it hurts like the day I found out you were gone.
The Sergeant Ryan E. Doltz Memorial Foundation was started to honor his memory and to help other military families in need.
I'd like to welcome you all to our annual beefsteak dinner.
They don't meet people like Ryan very often.
He never really got to leave his legacy, so this is kind of our way of leaving it for him.
Oh, wow. That's just awesome, Jack. Let's give it. Yeah, I watched it as preparing for this, and it's just so moving. So when can people tune into that again?
So that's premiering Sunday night at 8 o'clock on Newsmax, and it's just the pilot episode. So essentially, what we're doing is we want to make sure there's viewership, sponsor interest. So, you know, ideally we want to go to series with this and tell other stories of Vietnam veterans, veterans struggling with PTSD, just different conflicts throughout U.S. history. So the stories are endless, and we want to personalize our men and women in uniform.
Well, that's amazing. Well, count me in as a supporter. We'll talk offline on what I can do more to help get the word out or support it in any way I can. But Jack, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. Friends, I invite you to check out 9/11, The Day That Shook the World on Newsmax. And I want to thank Jack Thomas Smith once again for joining us. It's hard to believe that 20 years have gone by since that day in 2001. And when you think about what has happened in just the last few weeks, Joe Biden and his administration have brought the fears of terrorism right back to the forefront in people's minds. Okay, so we talked about Jen Psaki, Joe Biden, and his whole administration. Plus, we had the latest from AOC. We need to ask them, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain.
First, how about Rutgers University, which is taking vaccine mandates to a whole new level? Apparently, the university thinks that not only can COVID be spread by coughing or sneezing or touching, but it can also be spread through cyberspace. Here's the story. A New Jersey student has said he is barred from taking classes at Rutgers University because he has not been vaccinated, even though he is only studying virtually from home. Logan Holler, 22, told NJ.com that he largely ignored the school's COVID mandate because all my classes were remote from his Sandystone home some 70 miles from Rutgers campus in New Brunswick. But he was locked out of his Rutgers email and related accounts when he went to pay his tuition at the end of last month, and was told that he needed to be vaccinated even though he has no plans to attend in person. Can you believe this? He is 70 miles away from campus, and the university is coming after him. Well, not to be outdone by that story, we have Portland, Oregon Mayor Ted Wheeler, who is now admitting that the city's strategy of doing nothing during the latest riot might not have been the best approach. Portland, Oregon city leaders used a hands-off approach August 22nd when groups of armed protesters clashed in the city, but Mayor Ted Wheeler admitted it was not the right strategy. It is clear, based on the public outcry, on the media outcry, on the national front, that that strategy was not the right strategy, Wheeler said during a Portland City Council meeting, according to the Associated Press. What is going on in these left-wing cities? Wheeler's idea of law enforcement is to not enforce the law. While people were rioting on the streets, the police were observing from above in an airplane. In addition, city officials warned the public that, you know, hey, there's going to be a riot, and we're just letting you know that, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. It's like the movie The Purge. It's just anarchy. All right, so next, here's some breaking headlines from the Babylon Bee, and we'll start with Joe Biden and his new vaccine mandate. Biden unveils Your Body, My Choice vaccination program. And then regarding the recall race in California, where the radical left are attacking Larry Elder, who is black, by calling him a white supremacist, we have this breaking story. Jussie Smollett disguises himself as Larry Elder so people will commit real hate crimes against him. I love it. That one is just perfect. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And before you go, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be tomorrow with our Saturday live stream at 11 a.m. Central Time on my channel. Please tune in as we look back at the events of September 11th, 2001, and remember the thousands of Americans that we lost that day. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.